This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
All right. Well, everybody doing okay? You've been sitting for a while. Do you need to stand up or anything like that? Everybody's good? All right. Well, hey, I want to continue talking to you this morning. We have been talking about, been in a series over the last 2 weeks. We've been talking about matters of the heart. And I want to continue to talk to you today about matters of the heart. And in this series, we've been looking at things that affect our spiritual health of our heart. Spiritually, God has placed this spiritual heart inside of each and every one of us. And we know that everything flows from your heart. Everything flows out of it. It is so crucial that you and I evaluate constantly, daily. God, examine my heart. What is my heart saying? Where is my heart thinking? Where is my heart going? And I think that's why the proverb writer wrote it this way. It's so crucial when he said, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart because everything you do flows out of your heart. So the way you parent dads and moms, the way that you do relationships with one another, the way you work, the way you do marriage, the way you spend your money, the way you treat others, the way you see church, and the way that you live really all flows from your heart. It guides you. It leads you. It's where you set your parameters and your belief system. And I just believe that if your heart is healthy, the rest of your life will be healthy. I just believe that. And that's why over the last couple of weeks, we've dove into this thing, addressing areas of our heart. And if you notice, we've talked about, we've addressed the first week, a bitter heart and what that looks like and how that takes root in your life. And last week, if you were here, we talked about a broken heart and how do we deal with a heart that has been broken, and how do we heal it, and how do we live effectively? And so today, if you're here this morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on this next subject dealing with the heart. It's simply on a bewildered heart, on a bewildered heart. And maybe if you've been a part of this series, and you can go watch it online or whatever, but if you've been a part of it, you've probably noticed by now that all of our heart conditions start with the letter B, right? I just do that so that you would remember what we're talking about. So the letter B, and just trying to help you. So I personally don't think there's a word that better describes, how many of you know this, that better describes our current status in the world today. The idea of bewilderment. Like everything is in front of us, and all this noise, do you guys hear me? There is noise in the world today. All this noise in the world telling us what to believe, telling us who to believe, and probably more importantly, telling us who has the best answer for your future. There's a lot of noise, and it causes a lot of bewilderment. With all this chaos and all this confusion, there's no better word than to describe how we feel, right? I don't know about you, but I literally look, it maybe makes us look like this right here. Any of you ever living your life like that right now? Like, I don't know. You're just cocking your head, like, that's how bewilderment feels. You're just a little bit confused. That's my puppy, by the way. But that's how we feel. So bewilderment, let me give you a definition. Just simply means this. Bewilderment means perplexed and confused. Perplexed and confused. Like where you, it's at that point where you just don't know what to do. Like I don't know if you've had those moments before, but have you ever been in a place where you've just gotten lost? Been lost before? Now, it doesn't happen a whole lot. Literally, it doesn't happen a whole lot in our world today. Like, we don't usually get lost very often now because, thank God, we have technology, right? We have maps on our phones. We have these GPSs that literally we can walk, ride, swim, run, or drive and find our way. It's literally that easy. But I remember the day when the only way to find something, to find a direction, was to roll down the windows of your car and ask directions. Anybody remember those days before? Come on. Well, you had to literally roll down your window, find somebody. I mean, think about how crazy this is. Like, literally, we actually interacted with a stranger, telling them where we were going, and trusting that they're going to tell us how to get there. That's how crazy this was. And for those in the room today that are under 30 years old, let me just tell you, we didn't always have on hand the ability to find anywhere we wanted to go at any moment. Like, we used to drive around with these crazy things called a map. Remember this? Like, this is literally a map of Missoula. I don't know about you, but that's confusing. But that's what we drove around with. We drove around with these maps, and it was crazy. How many of you remember, like, you had to unfold them? And you had to find your way. You're like, okay, we're here, we're there, we got to turn here. And if you ever went on road trips, right, then it changed for us, because then we took the map with us, but we went to a whole nother level. How many of you remember one of these right here, right? You had the whole universe right in your hands. And you, some of you here probably still have one of these in your car right now. But we had one of these, and we had them in our car, and I was one of those kids, maybe you remember that, you're sitting in the back seat, and you're going from map to map, where are we at, and you're on this trip. How many of you remember you used to try to measure the distances with your hands? You're like, okay, well, we went an inch, so that has to be about 20 miles right now, right? You're trying to figure it out, how far you've gone. Then technology came along, and we went from an atlas to this little picture right here. How many remember this, right? MapQuest. You remember this? You printed out the map. You put it in a computer, you print it out, and all you had to do was follow the exact turns, point one, point five, and you went all the way like this. You printed out. Here's the reality. Here's the truth, church. This was not that long ago, ladies and gentlemen. Times change quickly. I don't know about you, but it's we don't always feel like we get lost anymore. But the reality is, right, if you look at the condition of your heart, a lot of us are in seasons right now where you just don't know what to do. You're in a season now where maybe you feel lost and you're looking for the roadmap to get you to the next direction. You don't know what to believe. You don't know who to trust. You don't know if you should stay married or should you sell or should you buy. You don't even know if this is the church for you. And even more important, we might ask ourselves, is faith for me? Is following Christ to really be trusted? And there are many other areas. Those are just a few that we're all trying to make decisions and we're all trying to navigate in life. And so what do you do when your heart is bewildered? And what do you? How do we respond? I have a couple of ideas. I think what causes a bewildered heart. Here's a few things that I think cause some big picture things that cause a bewildered heart. Here's the first one: change. Change. Some of you, come on, you know who you are. Don't do well with change. Some of us, like, we like things exactly perfect. We like things in their perfect place. You know. My wife's in Florida right now. She visited her mom. She comes home tomorrow, and I know what my day is going to be like today. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to be home putting everything back in its place because this has been me and my son. We're batching it. Why worry about it until the day before she comes home? And so she likes things in a certain place. Some of you like things in a perfect place. You like it. You like the way things have always been. You don't like the way things change. It even comes into the church. The problem with that the change thing is, how many know the world is changing at a ridiculous fast pace? There's a world-renowned futurist and author and best-selling book, The Singularity of Near. His name is Ray Kreisel. And he says this: the change that is happening today is so exponential that he suggests that we will experience 20,000 years of change in the next century alone. 20,000 years in one century. What is he basically saying? He's saying everything that is happening in the next 20,000 years will happen in most of our lifetime. We'll see almost 20,000 years of change just in the lifetime that we're living. That's how different the world we live in right now is changing. Like, how many of you know, our world would be totally different in just the next 5 years. It'd be different. And so it reminds us that things are changing. And listen, I believe this. As I'm talking about change right now, some of you are out there and you're being stressed out. There's like anxiety filling some of you. You hear me talk about change, some of you are in resistance mode. And ultimately saying, I don't know how to handle change. My heart is bewildered. Here's another one that causes a bewildered heart. How about this one? Mistakes. Mistakes. Those are, we have this idea, we have these good intentions, and we mess up. We make a mistake. And we think that we're doing the right thing. We think that we're going in the right direction. And then you make this bad decision, and you feel like, I've made a mistake. And what happens is that maybe through a lack of judgment, through bad wisdom or bad counsel, we mess up. We maybe make a sin issue. Maybe there's an area that you've caved into in your life that's not honoring and pleasing to God, and it causes bewilderment in our heart. We start to ask ourselves questions like, am I really forgiven? Can God really forgive me? Is God real? Can I ever be right? Can I ever do anything right? And it causes bewilderment in our heart. Here's another cause of bewilderment. How about this one? Opinions. How many of you know there's a lot out there today? There's a lot of opinions. A lot of people have ideas what you should do with your life, how you should live your life, how you should operate, the decisions that you should make. And the problem is, you and I have got so many voices inside our hearts. Your spouse says one thing, your friends say one thing, your pastor says one thing, Fox News says one thing, CNN News says another thing. You got family members who say another thing. And what it does is it causes us to wonder, what do I do? What is right? And it causes our heart to be bewildered. And then last one, what causes a bewildered heart is just simply uncertainty. Uncertainty. What is uncertainty? I just don't know what the future holds. And we all live in that world, like, what's the future hold? And we're always trying to figure it out and trying to get to the future. And you begin to ask yourself, is it always going to be this way? Will things ever change for me? Will I even be alive 10 years from now? What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my families? And we literally live in this world where we have this bouncing, this carousel going around in our hearts that are filled with uncertainty. Like, what's the uncertainty? And we just don't know what to do. And the Bible is packed full of people who experienced a bewildered heart. I think of the ladies who came to the tomb after Jesus was crucified and put into the tomb. And the Bible in Mark says it this way, trembling and bewildered. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and they fled the tomb. They fled the tomb, scared, bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were just so afraid. How many know it wasn't how they planned it? This wasn't the way it was supposed to go, and that's how many of us experience life. We always say to ourselves, this bewilderment comes in because our phrase is this, this is not how I planned it. This is not the way it's supposed to go. This isn't supposed to happen, and so we're filled with this bewilderment and this fear. But Paul writes it this way, and I love it, 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. That word perplex is actually the same Greek word as bewildered. And Paul's reminding us, we're not to live that life. We might be perplexed, but we can have hope. We can have peace in knowing that God doesn't live in that world. The idea that we don't know what to do really shouldn't even be part of our vocabulary because we have a God we can hope in. Let me give you a quick definition of perplex, because this is really important to some of us. It simply means this, to be at a loss with oneself. To be at a loss with oneself, to be in doubt. And I just believe whether you have served God for 50 years or you serve God for 3 months, we all have these moments where we sit here and we have doubt. Doubt creeps in. Am I making the right decision? Can I really put my hope in the Lord? And for some reason, this whole idea that we think, well, I shouldn't be in doubt. Like, I should know the right choice. I should know the right direction for my life. I should have the right actions. And for some reason, when we do have doubt, and when we are perplexed, and when we are bewildered, it surprises us. Well, why should I feel this way? Why? It surprises us. But Peter writes it this way. He kind of helps us out a little bit. Look what he says. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. Do you know that exact word strange is translated perplexed? Like something perplexing is happening to you. And I think that's how our lives are described for many of us right now. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know what the next step is. And my heart is simply just not at rest. My heart is confused. So what do we do? So this morning, quickly, I want to give you a passage of scripture today, a story of one of the most, I think, one of the most bewildering, crazy stories that we see in the Bible. And it's about a prominent figure in the Bible whose name is David. And most of you, when you hear that word David, you kind of, maybe you know who I'm talking about. A lot of times we always go back to, well, isn't that the little boy that killed the big Goliath with the stone? And absolutely that's true, but that's a lot of times who we equate him with. But we find that this little boy who killed the giant Goliath, he's anointed to eventually be the next king of all of Israel. The problem is this, is that if there's a long season from when he's anointed, when they were actually said, you will be the next king of Israel, there's a long season to when he actually takes the position of the next king. So he's anointed, he kills Goliath, and then he goes through this long season of serving this wicked king called Saul. He goes through this long season of running from his life, this long season of going, when am I actually going to be the king? I mean, you could just imagine the bewilderment of that. When is this actually going to happen for me? And so they have this crazy relationship. So during this time, he's running from Saul. He's fearing for his life. But during that same time also, he's also fighting off the enemies of Israel. And one of those enemies are a group of people called the Amalekites. And we see this story take place in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And this is really powerful when you look at the bewildering situation that David finds himself in. So let me share this with you. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles, but 1 Samuel chapter 30, starting at verse 1, and this is what it said. David and his men reach Ziklag, and on the third day, now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. So here we go, right? So this is all happening. You see this picture. They've attacked David's people. He's taken his wives and other people off. And look what he says. This is where it gets good. Now, when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Now, here's the reality. This is what's happening. It's not just that war that David and his men were experiencing. At this point in chapter 3, it now becomes personal. Because it wasn't just fighting two countries fighting. Now the enemy has taken their family. It's become very, and their stuff, and everything they've acquired. Now they've taken that, and now it becomes very personal. So verse 4, so David and his men, they wept out loud. They had no strength left to keep going. So they had no strength left to weep. That's how important this was. And maybe you've experienced that in your life today at some point in your life where something happens in your life and you literally have no strength to move forward. It's like all motivation's gone. And this is at this point of where they are. They're just distraught. And look at verse 5. It says, David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. Now, here's the first thing I was reading this the other night. I said, here's David's first mistake, right? Men, are you with me? Two wives, right? That's his first mistake right there. I think one is enough work, amen? I'm just kidding. Like, some woman's mad right now. I'm just joking. It's a joke, right? Everyone should have one wife, all right? So, so look what it says in verse 6. So David was greatly distressed, because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. So what happened? They're in this moment that they get to Ziklag. They realize that their wives, their children, their sons, their daughters, everybody's gone. The city is burned to the ground. And the scripture says that David is greatly distressed. In other words, David is greatly bewildered. He is confused. His heart is perplexed. And not only that, folks, we also find that now these guys that were with him, following with him, fighting with him, now want to turn on him. They want to stone him. They want to kill him for what has happened. So what does he do? And David gives us a key, an awesome key of what we do when our heart is bewildered. He gives us a key of what to do when our heart is confused. Look at that first part, that last part of 1 Samuel 36. He said, but David found strength in the Lord his God. I want to give you a couple of thoughts this morning. What do you do when your heart is confused? What do you do when your heart is bewildered? Let me tell you the first thing. Let me encourage you with this. When my heart is bewildered, I lean on the God who cares. When your heart is bewildered, I lean on the God who cares. As David has lost everything, right? He has nothing else. He does not know what to do. The Bible says that he's distressed, right? The people are now thinking of killing him. And David makes this intentional decision. He says this, I will go to the God who I know cares for me. I'll go to the God who cares for me. Let me encourage some of you. I'm going to speak into your life for just a moment here today. Some of you, you've gone to everybody else. You've gone to your friends. You've gone to your social media page. You've gone to media outlets. You've gone even to Google to find your answer. And I want to encourage, let me tell you this. If you want to find victory this morning, if you want to find peace in your life, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Find strength in him because he's the God who cares. He cares. And when we lean on him, we're able to find strength and peace when our hearts are confused. When your heart is perplexed and you don't know what step to take and you don't know what's the next journey, what's the next decision, how do I get rid of this confusion and doubt on my heart? Listen, we lean on the God who cares. Growing up, man, I was, maybe some of you can identify dads, but I was a wrestling fanatic. And I'm not talking about high school wrestling. Like, I'm talking about Hulk Hogan, Dusty Rhodes, right? I'm talking about the Ultimate Warrior. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, I'm on my own here. Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah, right? None of you are in my camp. Jake the Snake Roberts, right? You don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, I was that guy. And I remember, like, living in that world, like, piling, driving my brothers on pillows. Come on. I don't know how they're still alive. And I love, like, different big events where they would do things like these lumberjack matches, right, where everyone's in the ring, and the whole idea was who was the last man standing. The idea was to throw everyone out of the ring until you were the last one. And listen, don't tell me it's not real. It was real to me, all right? I know you're out here thinking, that's not real, Pastor. You're locked. No, it's real. And we when all seemed lost, right, you're rooting for your guy, and when all seems lost, they're almost, like, out of the ring, what happens, right? Somebody comes in, some friend, some helper, they come into the ring and they spare the guy. Let me tell you something, that's what God wants to do for you. Like that place where you feel down and you feel distraught, you feel perplexed, you feel confused, you go to the Lord in trust and faith. Like you lean on God, you go to the Lord in worship, you go to the Lord in prayer and watch how he steps on the scene. He steps on the scene because you know why? He's a God who cares for you. He's a God who cares for you. And what happens when we go to the Lord our God, when we find strength and we lean on him and we put our strength in? Here's what happens. Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians, he says this, for God is not an author of confusion, but of peace. And your helper steps on the ring, steps on the scene in the midst of your confusion and your bewilderment. And guess what he does? He brings peace. Here's what I really believe, that if you're ever at a place that you feel so confused, it's consuming you. I believe this, it's because there's something from God missing in the midst of it. So in other words, I'm always led by knowing if peace is there, God is in the midst of it. But I also know that when there's not peace in your life, God's not in the midst of it. So if I'm at a place where my heart is filled with bewilderment, my heart is filled with confusion, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite peace back into my confusion. If your house right now lacks peace, I'm going to encourage you, invite peace back into your home. I'm going to invite God back into my situation, back into the things that I'm facing. Because where God is at, church, there's peace. In fact, I wrote down this way, God's presence always produces peace in your life. God's presence always produces peace in your life. So if your heart is bewildered, do what David did. You strengthen yourself in the Lord and watch how peace will flood you. Like, watch how peace will flood your life even when it doesn't make sense. And I wish I could tell you that serving God and all that God does makes perfect sense. But it doesn't. But that doesn't stop me from trusting him. I mean, I think we go through situations, and I think when our heart is like, God, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to put my hope in you. Even when it doesn't make sense, the world will look at you. Your outside friends will look at you, and they say, listen, I know what you just walked through. I know what you've been going through. How do you have such peace? And our response is simply because when I'm going through a season of confusion and perplexion, I don't run to all these other things. I don't run to all these other stuff. I just simply run to the Lord. And I allow him to strengthen my heart and my life because he's a God who cares. And he cares for what you are going through. So look what else happens in our story this morning. He goes on in verse 7, and he says this, then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Amalek, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. So here's what David's doing. Abiathar's the priest. He goes to the priest, and David asks for the ephod. With the ephod, what that was it was an apron, a type of apron that was worn by the high priest. And so he's, bring these things to me. And he goes on and he says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And look at what God's response is to him. Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. So what does David do? I have to make a decision. I got to move somewhere. Am I going to go with my gut? Am I going to go with what I'm feeling? Am I going to go with what my friends say? Am I going to go with what everybody else is telling me to do? Or am I going to inquire of the Lord? And how does God respond to him when he says, God, what do I do? He tells him, well, pursue them. You will overtake them. You will succeed. So hear me this morning. What do we do when our hearts are bewildered and confused? Let me get number two real quick. We simply make this statement. I will go to the God who brings clarity. Man, when my heart is bewildered, when I'm confused, when I'm in doubt, I don't rest on my gut. I don't rest on anything. I go to the God who will bring me clarity. Remember, the Bible just said to us, he's not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. How many of you know this morning that God's not confused about the things that you're going through? We act like God's confused. He doesn't know what's happened. Listen, I want you to understand this morning. He's got a clear decision for you to make. He's got a clear answer for your life. He's got clear hope for you to trust in. And David shows us that what he is feeling is not where the answer is, but the answer is in inquiring of the Lord. God, I'm asking you. Hear me, you got to understand, David is a man gifted in warfare. He's a man who's won battles. He's a man who's taking out foes. He absolutely could have had a plan, yet he didn't go with his personal experiences. He didn't go with what he thought was best. And I just believe this is certain, that most of our problems come because we will go with what our gut says. We go with what our heart said instead of with what God says. And how does that go for us? A lot of times it doesn't go well. Jeremiah says it this way, something to hang on to. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You and I can't understand it. The heart is deceitful above all things. We can't just say, follow our hearts. Go with what feels right. We have to make decisions in a way that God is involved in the decision. And so how do we do that? We inquire of the Lord. There are so many natural opinions out there for your life, but I know this morning, and I want to say this over your life. God has really good plans for you. God has really great purposes for your life. And God knows what you need to experience those good plans. He knows what you need to fulfill those purposes over your life. And I just want to speak to you. I'm going to encourage you, don't go with the popular opinion. Go with what God says about your direction and your situation. That is what David does. God brings clarity in this decision and direction. So I want to encourage you with this morning to be on the screen. Number one, don't trust your heart. Don't trust your heart. I love this because we've been taught our whole lives, you know, I make my way. I'm responsible for my success. I make my own way. I just follow my heart. We've been taught that. Our heart will never lead us to where God wants us to go. So don't trust your heart. Instead, can I encourage you this? Trust God. Trust God. When you trust God, here's what you do, right? When we trust God, here's what simply happens. We trust God and we allow Him to guide your heart. People ask me all the time, hey, Pastor, have you ever heard God's voice audibly? And my answer is no, I haven't. But you know what? I've heard something louder than an audible voice. I've heard His voice internally. Louder than an audible voice. Hear me this morning. You can tell when God is speaking. You can tell. Some of you might want to deny it, but you know when God is speaking to your heart, right? And it doesn't make sense. It's counterculture. It's counter to what my flesh says. But when God speaks to my heart, it makes sense. And I'm going to go with what God says. It's how Kim and I came to the decision to come to CLC, to be the pastors of this church, right? I remember we had three cities or three churches that we talked into us, that we visited with. And I remember praying, God, I don't want to go with what feels good. I don't want to go with what has the best amenities or the best options. My prayer was simply, God, I want your spirit to lead us. I want your spirit to lead us. And it was confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that CLC was the direction. There will be moments in your life, people, when you have to make a major decision. Like you're at that place and I'm at a major decision in my life. And I want to tell you right now, God's not in heaven sitting there with His arms crossed saying, well, let's just see if they figure it out. They're on their own here. Let's see if they figure it out. You know what? He wants to be actively involved in the decision-making of your life. I love how the early church, right? They were trying to make decisions to guide the early church so that the church would succeed forever. And they set a phrase that I thought was so crucial that's still applicable today. You find this phrase in Acts chapter 15 where they simply said this, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That's an amazing statement. It's a dependability on what is the Holy Spirit saying to us? Well, we're just going to say, well, how does my gut feel? How does my feelings feel? Even here at the church, we make decisions. We get around the table and we pray about it. We bring the ideas and then we decide, does this feel good to the Holy Spirit and to us? And I know that can get weird in churches. And I know people have, over the years, have used this to manipulate. But hear me this morning. I think at its purest form, God speaks through the community of believers. He speaks to the community of believers. If all of your godly family members are telling you to run from something and you still keep running to it, guess what? You're missing it. God speaks through the community of the church. Listen, that's why you need to be in a small group. That's why you need to be at prayer. That's why you need to be involved in these. That's why you need to serve in your church. That's why you need to get involved in other ways, because you can't be a fringe believer. I just believe this, you need to be on the front line, because it's the front line that puts you in community to help you lead where God wants you to go. It's simply that old time phrase, we've heard it over and over, but we really are, as a church community, we really are better together. We're better together. And that's what David did. He got the priests, he got the people involved, and he inquired of the Lord. So what do you do when your heart is bewildered? Let me give you this last one. You go to the God who cares. You go to the God who brings clarity. But I want you to see this. 1 Samuel, verse 17. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. I was reading that. I actually laughed. I just imagine these 400 guys riding off on camels, you know, like, where's the horses, right? Just, I'm out of here, man. They're running away. And then he says in verse 18, David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Got everything back, right? Can I just pause for a moment on Father's Day? And it doesn't matter if you're a father or not, but I don't know what you feel like in your life. The enemy has stolen from you the joy, the peace, the encouragement, whatever it may be that you feel the enemy has stolen from you, and you may feel bewildered. I just know this morning, you and I don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay confused. Listen, I believe you can go from bewildered to blessed. If you just lean into God and you learn to inquire of the Lord and you strengthen yourself in Him and you do it God's way instead of your way, I believe there's a blessed life that follows all these things. So the Bible says he recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. And he goes on, he says this, nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and the herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. Now I want you to watch this because this is crucial. Verse 21, that David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Basan Valley. They came out to meet David and the men with him. And as David and his men approached, he asked them how they were. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said this, because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go. Now you might ask yourself, this is important. So what happened? There's a couple hundred men who didn't go to fight the Amalekites. They stayed back to watch over the city, to watch over the stuff. And when they came back, the other people said they shouldn't get any of the reward that we got. We were out there fighting. They weren't. They shouldn't get the reward. They shouldn't get the blessing that we're getting. And I want you to see how David responds. And David replied, no, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? That the share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike. This is so crucial. Why does this matter? Why is this even important? It's a crucial decision that David made in the midst of a season of bewilderment. At any moment, he could make the wrong decision. Hear me this morning. When you're confused, when you're bewildered in your heart, what do? Absolutely, you lean on a God who cares. And you go to the God who brings clarity. But here's the last thing. Here's what we say to ourselves. I will be faithful to do the next right thing. I don't know what the future holds. I'm just going to be faithful to do the next right thing. This is what David did. He's like, I don't know what's going to happen a year from now. This is for your life too. I don't know what happened 5 years from now, but I know right now it's the right decision to make. It may cost me popularity. It may cost me fame, but I'm going to make the right decision right here. I might not know what to do next, but I know what to do right now. Can I say this to you as we close out? There's a lot of Christians. You're in a season of confusion. And we say, well, what does God want me to do next? We make statements like, well, what does God have for me in the future? What is going to happen? Can I encourage you? I think God is saying, why don't you just forget about all that and just be faithful with the assignment that's right in front of you right now. Just be faithful with that right now and do the right thing. One of my heroes of the faith was a missionary. She was amazing. Her name, some of you probably know her story, you know her name. Her name was Elizabeth Elliot. Incredible story, incredible missionary lady. One of my heroes. So she has this dream from the time as a kid that God had deposited in her life. She had a dream of going on the mission field, to be a missionary. And one of her heart's dreams was literally to be a Bible translator, like to take the Bible to countries and to people who did not have it in their own language. So on that, as she heads to this journey, she meets the love of her life, and she falls in love with this guy by the name of Jim Elliot. They get married. They have a vision together of going on the mission field, and it takes 7 to 8 years before they actually get on the field, but they finally get there, and they begin to serve the country of Ecuador. So while there, they married. They also have their first child. They have this little baby girl. They're in Ecuador, becoming a family. They have this little girl, and the whole dream is coming together. I wanted to be on the mission field. Now I'm on the mission field. I found the love of my life. I get married. And then I have this little girl, and everything just seemed to be perfect. Then they're starting to make a difference in this country, making friends, team of missionaries, and they get a heart for this people group, this one particular people group in the country of Ecuador, the Uca Indians. They live on this remote island outside of a very tribe that you just you don't hear much about, very discreet out in this place, and they hear about them, and like, we want to reach these people. So Jim and four other missionaries finally, through some talk, decide to make a personal contact with these people group by bringing them some supplies, some stuff, some things that might help them, and basically trying to bridge this gap between them and this people group, all in an ultimate hope of sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They fly a plane literally on the scene. Maybe you've heard the story, and they fly this plane to this little remote area. They get there, and they're met by the people, literally while they're standing by this plane. And when they meet these people, they're not met with welcoming and greetings, but they're met with fear. And literally, these five missionaries are speared to death right there where they're standing. All of them were killed as they were standing by this plane. And it became a pretty famous story all over the media, all throughout the country, this famous story of these five missionaries who were martyred, who gave up their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So everyone's, and in the midst of this, everyone's talking about these five missionaries who were slain and killed by these people. And yet in the midst of that, no one's talking about this lady named Elizabeth Elliott. This mom, this wife, this missionary. And Elizabeth's story is fascinating because Elizabeth, in the midst of trauma, in the midst of confusion, right? This is a crisis in her life. What do I do now? I have this baby. Do I stay in Ecuador? Do I leave? My husband is gone. And in the midst of this moment, it was in that moment that the Lord gave her a phrase. It was in the midst of that bewilderment and in that confusion that the Lord gave her a motto for her life, a motto that she would live with till the day she died. And the statement was simply this: do the next right thing. What an amazing faith statement. Do the next. See, we're so worried about what happened back here, what's going to happen there, but what about right now? Do the next right thing. I think we all deal with bewilderment. We all deal with confusion, maybe not to this level or to her level, but here's the thing. For her, it was simply do the next right thing. And the next right thing was, I don't know what the future holds, but I know the next right thing is to go and forgive the people who killed my husband. And it's a phenomenal story where she goes back. It was written all throughout Major Magazine with this phenomenal story how Elizabeth dedicated her life to continue to work on the mission field, to build relationships. And slowly over time, literally over time, she eventually found and faced the man that killed her husband. And she forgives him. And in forgiving him, he experienced the love of Christ and he gave his heart to Jesus. And eventually this whole village finds themselves giving their lives to Jesus and following him. It's an amazing story of the goodness of God. She spends her whole life doing the next right thing, raising missionaries, writing books, inspiring thousands and thousands of people. And the reality is, how did she make a difference in her life? How did she find her way through that confusion? In the middle of bewilderment, she made a choice that you and I need to make today, that I'm going to follow God in the present. I'm not going to follow the God of the past. I'm not even going to follow the God of the future. But what does God want to do right now? What does God want to say to you right now? How does he want to direct your life right now? I want to encourage you with this last thought that'll be on the screen. It's simply this. When I don't know what is next, I want to encourage you this. I just focus on being faithful now. If you're out here today and you have a bewildered heart and you have decisions you got to make, or you're facing some situations and circumstances that are out of your control, out of your knowledge, can I just encourage you, don't worry about what's next. What if we just are faithful right now? And as you're faithful right now, right, God's going to do some amazing. He's going to speak clearly to you. I think some of us are spending so much time mapping out your next steps. We're spending so much time mapping out your future, spending so much time mapping out and controlling the direction of things. And I think God is saying, I just need you to be faithful right now. I need you to be faithful right here where you are. Be faithful in where I have you at this very moment. Some of you in this room, just practically, you started giving, you started tithing, and you stopped because, well, the bills piled up or it wasn't working for you. Can I just encourage you? No, you be faithful right now. Some of you started serving or you thought about serving, and yet when you think about it, your time and your future and your ideas get in the way, and you're like, I don't know if I can do that. Can I encourage you? Don't worry about all that to come. Why don't you just be faithful right now? Because I just think that God will bless your life then if you're faithful now. The then will come later if you're faithful right now. He'll take care of everything else. So let me encourage you this morning. Can I encourage you? Learn to lean into a God who cares. Rebuke that lie over your life. Rebuke that thing that wants to come in your heart that says, God doesn't care. Can I encourage you to lean on a God of clarity? Some of you need clarity today. You're facing a decision. You're facing a course of action. Can I just encourage you, let the God of peace reign over your life. Put the choir of Him and let Him bring clarity to your direction. And then I'll just say this. Can I just encourage you, lean into the decision that you have to make. Lean into it. And in spite of where you are at right now, can I encourage you, can just be faithful where you are. Whatever it is that you might be facing, whatever is bewildering your heart, hey, can I encourage you to give it to the Lord and say, I'm going to be faithful right now. I'm going to worship you right now. I'm going to dive into your word right now. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to be in the presence of right now. And I think you'll find God begin to outline and order the steps that you're looking for. So just as the music's playing for a moment, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. In fact, maybe we could stand together in this room. And I would just say, encourage you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Sometimes we don't take enough time to pause. Maybe you're here right now and you're at a place of indecision. You're at a place of the unknown. I don't know what's next. I don't know what God has for me next. Maybe you're at a place your just heart is bewildered. You're filled with doubt. You're perplexed. I'm just going to ask you right now in this moment, allow the Holy Spirit to just bring peace into your life. This is your opportunity while you're standing right here to inquire of the Lord. God, what do you have for me? This is your opportunity right now to do the next right thing. I think maybe the next right thing is just saying, God, help me to depend on you. When my faith is lacking, when I'm confused, when I'm bewildered and perplexed, when I'm worried about the next thing, God, help me be faithful right now, to trust you right now, to hope in you right now. That's what we pray for in this room, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Lord.
Oh, you never stop working.
Come on, sing even when.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Create a way for you. If you're bewildered this morning, you're confused, or you have decisions you have to make, or you're looking for the next step, can I remind you, He is truly that way maker. We're going to pray for you today. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I want to do this. If you're here this morning and you'd say, hey, my heart is in doubt and bewildered and confused because my relationship with God is not where it needs to be. And this is your opportunity to put God first, to put your faith and your hope and your trust in Him this morning. Say, God, I want to give you my life. I want to surrender to you to help me through those seasons of when my heart is bewildered, when I need the next step. And this is your opportunity. If you're here this morning and you feel like my life is away from the Lord and I want to just commit it back to Him, listen, we're not going to embarrass you right where you're sitting, right there where you are, heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want to pray for you. And if that's you this morning, would you have the courage? Would you just put your hand up? I want to know who I'm praying for. Say, that's me. Thank you. See that. Anyone else, real quick? It's your opportunity. Thank you. Lots of hands. Come on. That's it. Lord, right now I pray that as we are in this room and we're closing out this service, if for those in here today that just raised a hand and say, listen, I want my life to belong to God. I know that I've looked for answers everywhere else. And now, God, I know the answer is you. So, Lord, as we're sitting there, right where you're sitting, and those who raised their hand, or even if you didn't, just simply, babe, right there, would you make this your prayer and say, God, would you come into my life? I surrender to you. I know the answer relies in you. So help me to put my trust in you, knowing that when doubt comes and confusion comes, I can trust you. I can lean on you because you care for me, because you want to bring clarity to my life, because you truly have direction that you want to lead me. Help me to be faithful to you. I want to pray for everyone in the room today that is facing a bewildered situations, perplexing situations. What's the next step? I'm confused and I'm full of doubt. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in the now. That right here where we are, we can inquire of the Lord. We can put our hope and trust in you. And God, you're reminding us in this word that you are not confused by anything that we face. That we serve a God who's not confused. We serve a God who's not perplexed. We serve a God who is not bewildered, but a God that is in total and complete control. And we can put our hope and trust in Him, knowing that He will lead us and guide us. Let us be those people today, Lord, that turn our hearts to you. And so now, Father, I pray for every father today. I pray for every grandfather today. May this be a day of celebration, a day of remembering all the goodness. May you bless your church. May you bless your people. May your face shine upon us. And may we see the goodness of the Lord right now. Lord, may you count us faithful as we serve you. We honor you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we clap? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for choosing to be here. I hope you have a wonderful day. We have some free gifts on your way out. Tim will be leaving with that smoker if you want to beat him up and take it. All right? So God bless you. We love you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.